We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Ka'Chava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Ka'Chava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Ka'Chava, you're getting 85-plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at Ka'Chava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code NEWS.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
The front page of the Irish Daily Mail splashes with Ukraine. Trump turns the screw. Zelensky's agonizing choice as president demands he accepts humiliating peace deal by Thursday or lose US support. In a moment, we're going to talk to Suzanne Lynch, who is Brussels bureau chief at Bloomberg. But before that, David Dunn is with us. He's professor in international politics at University of Birmingham. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
David, I am no expert in peace plans, but in reading the top lines of what has been leaked from the American draft plan, it is hard from a layman's perspective to see this as anything other than effectively capitulation with a line on the bottom that Zelensky can sign. Am I missing something?
No, effectively, that's what it is. It is enforced capitulation. But it's also actually reading the peace plan, incredibly vague, badly written. It's a sort of a peace plan that's written on the back of a fag packet, really. And there's hardly any detail apart from the section that talks about giving Russian money to the Americans. But there's no timeline. There's no requirement for a ceasefire first. There are no mechanisms for verification. The language is not language of diplomacy. For example, one of the lines says, Russia is expected not to invade its neighbors. Not there's a commitment not to, but it's expected not to. It's written by amateurs, and it's incredibly rudimentary. And for this to be the basis of an agreement that you sign by Thursday is extraordinary. And what that does is make you wonder whether the whole thing is designed to fail, designed to actually get the Ukrainians to reject it, and therefore for the Americans to say it's their fault we're walking away, or it's their fault we're withdrawing all our support for them.
Let's come to that in a minute and the likelihood of the Americans actually withdrawing all support. But just to go through some of the bits, you highlighted the American profit share in a US-managed vehicle involving Russian assets. How is America ending up profiting from a peace deal between Ukraine and Russia?
In a word, it's because that's what the Russians see as the way to get Trump to support it. So just now, there were 300 billion euros sitting of Russian money sitting frozen in Brussels, and the European Union has been using that as a basis to which to raise loans to actually help the Ukrainian economy, and the possibility of giving that money to Ukraine and reparations for the Russian aggression. And what the Russians have done, they've said to the Americans, if you can make the Europeans freeze their asset, you can have some of it. We can do a joint venture that actually is an American-Russian company that invests in America, and another part of it is a American-Russian venture that rebuilds Ukraine, probably the part under Russian occupation, and you get 50% of the profits from that. So it's a way to actually appeal to American avarice, to Trump's avarice, as a way to get him to try and put the pressure on the Europeans to release that money and for the Americans to get a share of it.
But in essence, America would be going into business with the belligerent invading aggressor in this conflict.
It's just extraordinary, isn't it? Yes, that's exactly what the plan says. And that's exactly what the Trump White House is saying that Ukraine has to agree to. I can't imagine that it's acceptable to Ukraine or to the Europeans. So there's going to be a huge amount of diplomacy in the week ahead, and perhaps beyond that, to try and actually say, okay, well, this is an interesting starting point, being polite, but actually, on every detail, every one of these 28 gifts to Russia that are the point of this plan, that the Europeans will be pushing back on and saying these are unacceptable. I mean, it even talks about making Russia the official language of Ukraine, having an amnesty for war crimes, having the Russians have all their sanctions lifted and being part of the world economy and the trading system, everything we got there back to normal, as if nothing has happened. It's an extraordinary list of things that the Americans, it would seem, have agreed to the Russian wish list without any pushback. There's no requirement on the Russians to have any concessions whatsoever. There's no requirement to have the Russians to have any limits on their sovereignty, even though there are huge limits on the size of the Ukrainian army, on the type of weapons that they can have, that the Ukrainians can't have foreign troops on their soil. None of that applies to Russia. It's entirely one-sided. It's an extraordinary document, and it's an extraordinary process that's got this to be a thing that Trump is insisting that Zelensky sign.
If we set aside the profiteering then and look at the geography, as I understand it, the draft proposal suggests that Crimea, Luhansk and Donetsk would become de facto Russian, effectively giving them the territory that they have illegally taken thus far, and that there would then be a cap on Ukrainian military expansion and membership of NATO.
Yeah, but it's more than that. They also want actually all the areas that the Russians claim but haven't actually occupied or won through war. So they're asking the Ukrainians to withdraw from territory that they're currently defending, where all the defences are built, and give that to Russia. What happens to the people there is anyone's guess. So it's a maximalist list. It's every wished. Every dream the Russians had is in this plan, and the Americans said, yeah, okay. And so it's just extraordinary.
Presumably the Ukrainians cannot consider this in any way, shape or form. It's just a matter of how they reject it.
And that's the diplomacy here, is the fear is that if they were just to say, well, this is obviously nonsense, we can't accept this, then you have J.D. Vance and you have others in the White House who are little isolationists, would say, okay, well, that's time for us to walk away and to put pressure on them and to withdraw all our military support and intelligence sharing. And therefore, it has to be done differently. So I, as an analyst, can be outraged. You won't hear members of European leaderships or indeed the Ukrainian government expressing that outrage, because they're trying to handle the Americans with kid gloves, recognizing that the fragile egos and the stupidity, frankly, of this plan, you can't say, well, this is obviously a non-starter. So you have to just do things through diplomacy instead.
But as an analyst, is it your view that this, therefore, is a distracting straw man to allow the Americans to withdraw?
That's the fear. And many of us have actually had that fear for as soon as Donald Trump was elected. Remember that pledge to end this war in one day? They end this war in one day by forcing capitulation on Ukraine and allowing the Russians to have their way. Yes, you would end the fighting by enforcing defeat and subjugation on large parts of Ukraine and the Ukrainian state thereafter. The whole point of actually having a war in the first place is to avoid subjugation, and that involves fighting and that involves losses. And all Trump seems to be focused on is ending violence, ending the fighting, without seeing the bigger picture, without accepting in any sense the importance of what's at stake here. And what's at stake here is a whole series of principles of international law that you don't reward aggression. The whole future of the Ukrainian people, but also actually the whole future of European security, if you were to reward an aggressor in the way in which they get everything they wanted from this peace plan, and therefore think, well, this is easy, let's do it again.
Well, on that note, presumably from Finland to the Balkans, there will be a lot of EU member states and there'll be an awful lot of EU neighbours who will be looking at this saying, if this goes ahead, what we see is Russian remilitarization, recapitalization following a bit of an economic steadying in the state, and then we're next.
Yeah, I'm because there's lots of indications that's entirely what Russia has done. What Putin has done is stake his leadership on an aggressive foreign policy, on an aggressive foreign policy that actually has grey zone activities, shining lasers in the eyes of RAF pilots, having spy ships hovering over cables that connect all our infrastructure together in Europe, flying drones into European airports, setting fire to warehouses in British cities. All of these things indicate that Russia is on an offensive path, and not just with regard to Ukraine. It feels emboldened by the success it's making in Ukraine and the fact that the Americans in particular are not taking steps to limit its progress in its war aims. And therefore, across Europe, and it's not just on the front line, it's elsewhere as well, there is huge concern as to what Russia's ultimate gains are. Putin talks about recreating the Soviet Union. Well, if you're in the Baltic republics, that's a huge concern. If you're actually in Poland, Poland was historically part of Greater Russia, and Putin talks about recreating Greater Russia. So, yes, the rhetoric and the actions match, and the threat from Russia is perceived to be absolutely real. And this peace plan is a huge threat to the security of Europe, not just to Ukraine.
David, thank you very much for that analysis. That was David Dunn, who is professor in international politics at University of Birmingham. 53106 at a cost of 30 cents if you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106 on WhatsApp. And obviously the implications for Europe are significant, and to some extent it raises the question as to whether or not Europe has the capacity to fill whatever vacuum the Americans may leave if they do decide to leave subsequent to this peace plan being rejected, as David predicts it will be. With us is Suzanne Lynch, who is Brussels Bureau Chief at Bloomberg. Suzanne, the sense that you're getting from across the EU, what is the political take on the draft peace plan, and what do they see as the implications if the Americans hold true on their threat and pull out of support?
Well, I mean, I think there's a feeling that we're entering a decisive period for Ukraine. Without a doubt, the Europeans were caught completely off guard by this plan. They've confirmed they were given no heads up, no communication from the Americans ahead of this, the publication of this 28-point plan. And what you're seeing now is a scrambling by EU and European leaders to try and get this back on track as they see it. What's happening this weekend is that the G20 summit is happening down in South Africa. So you've got most of the top European leaders are there now. So the Chancellor of Germany, French President Emmanuel Macron, Keir Starmer. And what we've seen since yesterday is a series of emergency meetings happening between these figures. We saw, for example, the German Chancellor, Friedrich Merz, and I think this is a signal of how worried they are now, got Donald Trump on the phone yesterday, had a phone call, and made his views known, and now we're going to see more meetings today. Their aim now is to try and get the ear of Donald Trump, I think. That's the strategy, before anything is agreed. Trump last night said he expects Zelensky to sign this deal by next Thursday, which is Thanksgiving in the United States. So there is some time, but the Europeans are, you know, pretty appalled at what is in this plan. But their task now is to try and convince Trump that this is not the final offer, and that to try and change some terms of this peace plan before Zelensky feels that he needs to sign up to this.
And if they are unsuccessful in doing that, and if America does do what it is threatening, which is to withdraw the support that it's providing, has Europe a prayer of being able to fill that gap?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Number one is, I think we do have to keep in mind this is, you know, negotiations happen all the time, and this is the starting point. You know, people go into negotiations with maximalist positions. That happens every day of the week here in Brussels. You go in with your big asks, and then there is room for negotiation. So I don't think this is actually what's going to be the final result here. I think that's not possible for Ukraine. But I do think the way
but
the direction
it's so
of travel
maximalist,
is going,
Suzanne. I mean, it's one thing to have a broadly maximalist position, but I mean, on every possible category, reducing the armed forces to 600,000, banned from ever joining NATO, giving up huge swathes of territory, having Russia join effectively in profiteering with America off the back of rebuilding Ukraine. I mean, any one of those would be egregiously maximalist, and there's six of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's many, which is exactly why I don't think that this will be the final offer. I don't think that's where we're going to land on this. So the job now of these European diplomats is to try and shape this as much as they can. in the next few days. Now, to answer your question about can Europe step up, this has always been the issue, that Trump has this leverage, the US, obviously the world's biggest military power and a member of NATO. Now, the reality is that the Europeans have been giving more weapons, have been giving more money to Ukraine, and the US has been retreating anyway. I do think one of the big issues for Ukraine is the issue of intelligence. A US intelligence sharing is extremely important to Ukraine and indeed to the Europeans. So, you know, if Trump was to threaten to withhold that, for example, in a serious way, that would be a major issue for Ukraine. Because in a sense, Trump has made it clear he wants out of Ukraine. He does not want US, further US involvement in Ukraine. That's nothing really new. I think the really, the bigger issue, and this is where the issue of, you know, rooting out for future NATO membership for Ukraine becomes a problem. If Russia feels emboldened by this, what does it mean for the rest of Europe? Now, in one sense, the reality is Ukraine is not in NATO. So Putin can get away with a lot more in terms of what he's doing in Ukraine than if he was to do something in Poland, for example. Because if he was to move into Poland or any of those NATO European countries, well, then that would trigger a response from NATO. So he knows that. So in a way, it's a more of a safe space. He can do a lot more in Ukraine than he can in a NATO country. But the big, big question here is that if that was to happen, how committed is the US to NATO? Like, would they step up and help Poland and Lithuania and Estonia? At the moment, they are. They're committed to NATO. And Donald Trump said at the NATO summit in June, he remains committed to NATO. And perhaps that's what he's saying to Putin, that the Americans are saying to Putin, look, you can do, you know, our red line is you don't go any further than Ukraine because we're a NATO member. So this is a big threat for Europe. And this is why the problem for Europe is that this war affects Europe much more than it does in the United States, not only militarily, but also in terms of energy supply, costs, all of those things. So the Europeans have much more to lose in this. So look, let's see today. They're hoping there's a meeting going on now in South Africa around lunchtime. And there are reports that the Prime Minister of Australia, of Japan, Canada might be joining that meeting. So you're really seeing a division now of the world. You're seeing those leaders, those Western, more liberally-minded leaders getting on one side, and on the other side, you've got America now and Russia speaking, and you've also got the question of India and China. Where do they stand on this? I think Putin mentioned those two countries in the last few days, and they've made no secret of the fact that they're not really interested in getting in the Ukrainian perspective here, and they're buying a lot of Russian energy. So let's see what comes out of this call that's going to happen in the next few hours. And then I would imagine that they're going to try and get some kind of a phone call with Donald Trump, if not travel to Washington. This happened, if you remember, the Alaska summit in August. We saw all the EU leaders going to the White House and having a meeting with Trump. And they felt like they did make some progress. So I think that's going to be the aim now in the next couple of days, to try and get to speak to Donald Trump, you know, on a call, okay, but possibly a visit too.
Well, we will watch with interest. Suzanne, thank you very much. Suzanne Lynch, Brussels Bureau Chief at Bloomberg.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.